I want you to notice what Paul is telling the Ephesians there in this particular passage of Scripture. Go back and look at what Pat just read for us. Basically, it says, I want you to watch carefully how you live your lives. I want you to walk circumspectly. That means having a perspective of looking all around and making sure that you're making the right decisions and that you're living your life in a very careful manner. It says to make the most of every opportunity that you have. We see that in verse 16, redeeming the time. In the context here, it means in terms of saving lost souls. Never lose an opportunity to spread the word and to try to save someone who is lost. And then really look at verse 17. You've got the wherefore. This is the cause and effect, if you will. It says that we are to be mindful of the moral corruption that we live in, and in doing so, understand the will of God. It's been our intent then to think about understanding the will of God and living our lives carefully, circumspectly, in a way that brings glory and honor to God. For the past few weeks, we've talked about the will of God. We had a lesson that just dealt with understanding the will of God and how do I know what the will of God is for my life. Our conclusion there was that understanding God's will involves studying His Word. It involves praying about His Word and praying about our lives. Then we looked at the idea of prayer and we understand that God has a purpose and an immutable desire that does not change. Why then should we pray if God already knows? And our conclusion in that lesson simply was that God is still at work within His creation and that prayer has the ability to change things because of its power. God is at work and He wants to hear from His creation. Today we're going to think about the will of God as it relates to making decisions. I know that some of you right now today are probably mulling over in your mind an important decision. Something that you've got to make a decision about. You may be on a time crunch. It may be within a few days you have to make a decision about a job. It may be that you have to make a decision about a relationship. It may be that you have to make a decision about a financial situation that you found yourself in. And it may just be that today someone has a spiritual decision to make. Any decision that we make should be taken with great gravity and with great care and with great concern. But above all, can I tell you this, that when we make decisions, we need to take into account the will of God. Not every decision that we make is going to fall into the will of God. We know that God's will is not always done. For example, it is God's will that all should hear the gospel and obey and be saved. But we know, sadly, that is not the case. Some decisions that we make are going to be bad decisions. We all have examples of that in our lives. We made a decision and we suffered the consequences because of the decision. How then can we use God's will to make the absolute best decision for our lives? There are so many decisions to make. Where am I going to work? How am I going to spend my time? How will I raise my family? How many children will I have? All of these are decisions that we're faced with, all sorts of questions. How then do I know what the best thing to do is? Often we don't take into consideration, I'm afraid, the will of God. So today, as we think about that, my challenge for you is this. As you approach any decision, consider the will of God. And consider how you go about discerning the will of God. I've made lots of decisions in my life, and looking back at some of them, some were good, and some of them, maybe I would have chosen something differently had I been given more information or more time. We can think about situations maybe where someone is in a career, they're in a job, and they grow restless with the job. Maybe you've been happy in a particular job for many, many years, and you decide, well, maybe I need something different. And you make a career change, and you find yourself in something or somewhere that you're not particularly happy with. We have to live with the consequences of making decisions like that. Maybe you know of someone, or maybe you yourself have lived in a particular house for several years, but maybe it's not large enough. Maybe it's not the house you want. Maybe it's not in the area, the neighborhood you want. And you decide to make a change, and then you do, and you find yourself in a situation where you're just not as happy. We all have situations that occur like that in our lives. Not everything that happens to us, however, is going to be the will of God. There are some decisions that we bring upon ourselves that simply aren't in keeping with the will of God, and we have to suffer with the bad consequences of making those really bad decisions in our lives. But can I tell you this morning, that most of our bad decisions that we make in life are recoverable. In other words, if you make a bad decision, in most instances, you can rectify the situation. And praise be to God that that is the case. because we all make bad decisions. We all suffer some consequences that aren't particularly enjoyable, but most of the decisions we make, we can recover. I try to tell my students that throughout the school year. You make a bad test grade, you make a bad decision, and some misbehavior lands you in trouble with the administration. The good news is you can recover from it. It's not the end of the world. And can I tell you this, spiritually speaking, that you shouldn't be defeated because you make a bad decision? We all make bad decisions spiritually. We all do the wrong thing occasionally, and it's not the end of our spiritual life. We shouldn't be defeated because we can recover from those bad decisions. Given information and time, we can make the best decision. But the problem here is that we're not always given all the information we need to make a decision. And sometimes we're not given the amount of time that we need. We just need a little more time to mull it over and make a good decision. What then should I do in making decisions in my life? How am I going to discern the will of God in my life as I make decisions? I know in my household, and Amy and Will can tell you this, that when there is a decision to be made, it is not an easy process. And I'm going to tell you right up front and be very honest and direct with you that making decisions based on the will of God rarely is going to be easy. Now, there are some things that are cut and dry, and the choice is obvious, but life isn't always obvious, is it? Occasionally, and more often than not, you're going to find that the decision is convoluted, it is complicated, and it's going to take a great deal of effort. And you probably will agonize. I agonize when I have to make decisions, particularly about my job. I agonize over those decisions and then question myself if I've made the right decision. And I know you do too. So if you're taking notes this morning, here's the meat of where you're going to take your notes. I'm going to give you 8 ideas to consider today, 8 things to consider when you're thinking about discerning the will of God and making an important life decision. Now, these are 8 pieces of advice that aren't necessarily to be taken in order and proceed, and you will automatically be given the right answer, the right decision. Doesn't work that neatly, nor that cleanly. But they are 8 pieces of advice that are based on Scripture, that's based on God's Word, that if you take them as a whole, not picking and choosing one or the other, but taking all 8 pieces of this advice together, it will lead you to make better decisions in your life that are truly based on the will of God. Here's number 1, and it's very simple. Number 1 is consult the Bible. I would say to you, even though these aren't in a particular order, that this one should be of greatest priority. If you have to make a decision, go to God's Word. And you're going to find that God's Word has given you advice about how to make decisions in your life. The single most important question that you can ask is simply, has the Bible spoken about this issue? And if it has, what does God have to say about making a decision in these regards? Let me give you a few examples of easy decisions to make based on God's Word. Maybe you're placed in a situation where you could fudge a little bit. Let's just call it what it is. You could lie to the IRS about your income. You could lie to the IRS about your taxes. Should I make this decision? The answer is simple, because the Bible has plainly told us that we are to not lie. The Bible has spoken. That is the precept. The answer, the decision for my life is very simple. What if I'm asking a question, should I be engaged in this particular relationship? Well, the Bible has given us clear guidelines about relationships and about the roles of husbands and wives. And we know if the Bible has spoken, the decision is clear. The Bible has given us lots of precepts, lots of commands. And if we see those commands, it's going to tell us directly what the decision ought to be in our lives. The Bible has spoken practically on every issue that we might face. But can I tell you that the Bible teaches not just by precept? And that word precept simply means a command. But the Bible also teaches based on principle. In other words, you look at the spirit of the law or the intention of God's command and you apply it in a broader stroke. Maybe you've got a situation that doesn't fit neatly into a situation that's about lying or that's about relationships or about something that God has spoken on directly by command. But you look at God's Word and you understand the principle behind it and you understand God's nature behind it and you begin to understand that the decision you need to make may need to take a different direction. The principle of Scripture. And the more I understand God's character, now notice carefully here, I have to apply myself and study God's Word in order to be able to discern God's will. As I do that, I understand the nature and the character of God more clearly, and not only do I follow the precepts, the commands of God, but I follow the principles of God, because He has given us principles by which to live our lives so that we might make our souls ready to inhabit heaven. As we think about that, when we make decisions, number one, go to the Bible. Go to Scripture. And look at what the Word of God says about that particular situation. Here's a second one. Remember, we're having eight pieces of advice here. Number two in this list would be, go to God in prayer. These two are probably the easiest two to think of. Go to God's Word, go to the Scripture when you're making a decision, see what it says by precept and by principle, but also go to God in prayer. And I've talked to lots of you before who are facing decisions, and usually that's part of our conversation. Is like, well, I'm in prayer about this decision. I've really prayed about it, and I'm trying to find the best answer for my life. But let's think about what it is you're truly praying for. And let's think about what it is you're saying to God in that prayer about your decision. I want you to remember what it says in James 1, verse 5. It says, if any of you lack wisdom. Pause there for just a moment. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to discern and to take information and to use it wisely. There's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. I can have all the knowledge in the world. I can know lots of things. But if I can't apply it in a real and practical situation, then I have no wisdom. So it says, if any of you lack wisdom, if you lack the ability to apply Scripture, if you lack the ability to apply what you have learned, what's the answer? Well, here's the rest of the verse. Let him ask of God. God, I'm facing this decision, and you know my struggle, you know my situation, and I really need a bit of wisdom right now. I've got the information, I've got the time, I know what your word says, and I'm trying to make a decision based on your will for my life. But God, I need a little wisdom in applying it. I need some strength. I need some guidance in applying it. That's the prayer we should utter. Notice here what it says at the end of that verse. It says, that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. Pray for wisdom. He didn't ask for information. He didn't say, God, I need a little more information, or God, give me just a little more time so I can make this decision. But perhaps we should say, God, give me the wisdom to make a decision that is godly. To make a decision that is going to end in my being able to live out your will and bring glory and honor to your word. Wisdom is the ability to understand what I've experienced and how to react to it in God's way. I can use the information. I can look at all the pros and the cons. But if I have no wisdom, I'm going to fail at making a decision. He also means here to do everything without doubting. If you read the rest of James 1, you're going to find there that it talks about doubting. And if I ask God in faith for wisdom, He's going to give to me liberally because I have asked for it. And He's going to give to me because I have faith. Now, this is faith in God's ability to answer prayer, mind you. And it's faith in His ability to work in a very powerful way in my life. I want you to also think about this idea of going to God in prayer. And sometimes I've spoken with people who are talking about making a decision, and they say, well, you know what? What I really would like, Jason, is for God to just give me a sign. Or maybe someone says, well, this happened in my life, and you know what? I'm taking it as a sign. Can I tell you something about signs this morning? Think about what it says in Matthew 12, verse 39. You've got the scribes and the Pharisees. They're coming to Jesus. And they've seen Jesus perform miracles. They've seen Him work signs and wonders. They've heard His powerful teaching. And here's their question. They come to Jesus and they say, give us a sign. Give us something that we might know for sure, Jesus, that You are the Son of God, that You are who You claim to be. Just give us a sign. And Jesus gives them a response that's very appropriate in that context, and it's appropriate for us. He says, it's a wicked an adulterous nation that looks for a sign. Can I tell you that when you go to God in prayer and you're trying to make a decision, don't expect to be given a sign. Don't anticipate that something is going to happen to you and it's going to be suddenly clear, that you're going to have a moment of epiphany where the answer is revealed to you, because it just simply isn't going to happen. Go to God in prayer and pray for wisdom and pray that you may make the right decision. But as far as you receiving a sign, Jesus has spoken about that. It is a wicked and adulterous nation that is expecting a sign. Here's number three in our list. And remember, you can't take any one of these apart from the other. Number three in our list is simply to check your conscience. Now, we need to study this one very carefully here. I want to begin with a passage from 1 John chapter 3 and talking about your conscience as a guide. Here's what it says in 1 John 3 verses 20 through 22. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God? And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Can I tell you this morning that if you're making a decision, and the decision you're about to make violates your conscience, it violates that sense within that just says, there's something not right about what I'm about to do. There's something just not right about this decision I'm about to make. Can I tell you to listen to that voice? Can I tell you to follow your conscience in those regards? And we're going to speak on this pretty clearly here. Your conscience is a guide in so much that if it makes you feel that tinge of guilt, there's probably something to it. A guilty conscience is clear evidence, I would say, that you are not in the will of God. Now, there's a few things we have to keep in mind about living our lives based on our conscience. Would it be an accurate statement to say, well, I just live my life based on what my conscience tells me, and if my conscience feels good about it, then I know it must be within the will of God? Let's pause there for just a moment. Let's not get carried away with that. It works in one way, but not in the other. A guilty conscience is a good red light. It tells you to stop. That what you're doing is offensive to God or offensive to someone else. It offends yourself. And it's a pretty good red light. It's a pretty good stop sign for you that I should not be engaged in this. I want to go look at a couple of different passages that deal with this. Go with me to the book of Romans, and let's look at Romans chapter 14. Just a real quick verse here in Romans that deals with this idea of the conscience. Romans chapter 14, I want to look at verse 23. It's talking about offending someone by your behavior. Go back and look at verse 22. Romans 14, verse 22. It says, hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. Now here in the context, he's talking about the liberty to make decisions for yourself. And he says, happy is the man, fortunate is the man, who when he does something, knows that it's the right thing to do, and it does not condemn himself. That's just another way of saying it does not violate the conscience. It's a good thing if what you do doesn't violate the conscience. But then notice the next verse. And he that doubteth, now this is not talking about faith in God, it's talking about he who has violated his conscience. If you doubt that it's right, if you violated conscience, he is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. What does that tell me about a guilty conscience? If I do something and it violates my conscience, then to me it is sin. A guilty conscience is a violation of God's will. There's another passage I want us to look at, and it's found in 1 Corinthians. Turn over just a few pages and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And I want you to notice here what it says in verse 4. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 4. It says, and this is Paul speaking to the Corinthians. He says, for I know nothing by myself. Now in the context he's saying, I know nothing against myself that's a violation of my conscience. Now, he's not going to stop short there. That's a sign of Paul's total commitment to serving God. He says, I know nothing of myself that violates conscience. Yet, am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Now, notice the caution here that he's given. He says, I'm not doing anything that violates my conscience, but ultimately, it's not my conscience by which I'm judged. He says, the Lord shall judge my actions. Now let's think about what that means for our lives. A clear conscience does not mean that you have accurately discerned the will of God. Let me say that again so you understand it. Having a clear conscience, like Paul says here, doesn't mean that you are justified in the sight of God. Let's think about a couple of reasons why your conscience can't always be the guide. Having a clear conscience can't always be the guide for living your life. Let's say, for example, you haven't properly trained your conscience. Well, what do you mean by that? Training the conscience. Absolutely, the conscience can be trained. If you've had no moral instruction, if you have never read God's Word, if you've never prayed to God, how then do you know that it would violate your conscience if you don't know that it's wrong to do so? So, if we have a clear conscience, it could be because we just haven't properly trained our conscience. Those of us who have read God's Word and internalized it and meditated upon it, we understand if something's wrong, it's going to violate the conscience. And when we feel guilt, it's a sure sign that we're not in God's will. It could be also that we have seared the conscience. We talk about hardening the heart. This is what we're talking about, searing the conscience. Maybe we've engaged in sin for so long and in our minds we've rationalized it. Well, God would want me to do this. God would want me to be happy. And I'm going to have a clear conscience about it because I've decided for myself this is the thing to do. That doesn't mean just because I have talked myself into having a clear conscience that it's the right thing to do. So you see the danger here in using a clear conscience as a moral guide for making a decision. But can I tell you that if you have a guilty conscience, if it bothers you, listen to that voice. Because it's an excellent guide that's not the right decision. So using that metaphor of a guilty conscience is an excellent red light. When you feel guilty about something, stop it. Because to him who violates his conscience, it is sin. Even if it's allowable, even if it's part of the liberty of Christ, but if it violates your conscience or it offends someone else, then don't make an issue of it, but stop doing it. But just as effective as a guilty conscience is as a red light, a clear conscience is a terrible green light. Let me say that again. A guilty conscience is a really good red light, but a clear conscience is a terrible green light. Just because you feel good about it doesn't mean you should give it the go-ahead. Check your conscience. Now, keep in mind as we're going through this list, you can't take them apart. You can't say, well, I'm going to pick number 3 from Jason's list and say it doesn't violate my conscience. I'm going to go with it. You can't do that. You've also got to look at God's Word. You've got to go to Him in prayer. You've got to check your conscience. And number 4, you've got to ask yourself, what is truly the desire in my heart? So for those of you taking notes, number 4 is where we are. What is the desire that's in your heart? Now, why would I say that as part of the list here? We know in Philippians 2:12, it says that we are to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There's a degree of work that is to be involved in salvation, with fear and trembling, with respect and with humility. But notice what it says in verse 13 of Philippians chapter 2. It says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do His good pleasure." Now I want you to chew that one over for just a moment. You work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, but it is God who works in you to do His will for His good pleasure. Well, what does that mean for me? Sometimes that dream that I've been harboring in my heart may just be the fact that God has planted that dream or that idea within my heart. It may be that it's not just an idea that I have come up with, but Philippians 2:13 says that God works in me to do His will. Did you notice how that works? The more I read God's Word, the more I think about it, the more I meditate upon it, the more I live it out and apply it in my life, the more of God's work I do, the more I want to do. The more I know, the more I want to know. The more I serve, the more I want to serve. The more I humble myself, the more I want to humble myself. That's how we grow as a Christian. The more I do His will as I discern it, the more I'm going to have the will for His will to be accomplished. What a beautiful idea that is about being a Christian. It is His will that I discern, and it's His will that my desire grows that I might do His will. So that thing that's in your heart, that desire, if it's a godly desire within your heart, within your life, it may just be that it's a natural outgrowth of your increased desire to serve Him. Do you have a godly desire to do something? Do you have a godly desire that might lead you to make a decision about something? Then I would say to you, follow that godly desire. Number five, can I tell you that decisions sometimes can be based on circumstances? We've already established that there really are no such thing as a sign that's going to lead you to a right direction. But circumstances certainly can affect the decisions that you have to make. We are people who are surrounded by and limited by our circumstances. Some people are born as a citizen of the United States. Some people are born in third world countries. We are limited by and bounded by our circumstances that we are surrounded by. Sometimes God's will is revealed to us by those very circumstances. You may find yourself in a situation, much as Ruth did in the Old Testament, that you are put here based in these circumstances to accomplish this very thing. It may be the decision that you're grappling with and you're struggling with that the circumstances have put you in, that's the very thing that God wants to accomplish in your life. Acts 17:26 puts it this way, "And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." What that says to me is God has placed me within circumstances that limit my existence. Not in a negative way of being limited, but there are certain circumstances by which I am bound, and I operate within those circumstances. And when I make decisions trying to discern God's will, I look at the circumstances, because circumstances will help to determine the will of God in your life. There are boundaries, there are circumstances. Look at those when making a decision. Number six, I would suggest that you get counsel. You get advice. Proverbs 15:21 says it this way, "Without counsel, plans go awry, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established." How do I seek advice? Can I tell you, first of all, seek out the advice of a Christian? And second of all, can I tell you, seek out the advice of a Christian who has some expertise in the area that you're trying to make a decision. If you're trying to make a decision about your marriage, I wouldn't suggest that you go to a Christian who is single, because they're probably not going to have the expertise that you need in making that decision. If you're trying to make a decision about financial situations, go to a Christian who has expertise in that particular area. Seek out the person who can give you the best counsel. Now notice again, and I've said this a couple of times already, I'm going to say it again. Don't take any of these pieces of advice separate from itself and say, okay, I can check that one off my list, I can now make my decision. No, you've got to, it's a checks and balances. You've got to take them all together. And if it doesn't violate your conscience, for example, and it's a heart's desire that you have that's a godly desire, and then you find that you've sought the advice of someone and they give you the advice and you say, okay, I can go ahead and make the decision. Don't skip out on reading God's Word and praying about it. You've got to do all of these steps in order to make the best possible decision. Can people give you bad advice? Absolutely. Choose your counselor wisely. What do we often do as humans, and we've all been guilty of this, we know the answer we want, so we find the person who's going to give us the answer that we desire. We've done it, haven't we? I've got a major decision or I've got a major issue that I want to talk about, so I find the one person I know who's going to tell me exactly what I want to hear. Can I tell you that the people you surround yourself by who tell you just what you want to hear are not your friends? They're not your friends. Your friend is someone who will look at you square in the eyes and say, you know what, that's a terrible idea. That's a terrible decision, and let me show you why. Here's what God's Word says about it. Here's what you're going to find out based on your circumstances. Here's what you're going to find out based on your conscience. And let me tell you from my own experience what happens when you make that kind of decision. That's the person you want to find. You want to find someone to give you counsel, someone to give you advice, who can give you godly advice with a sense of experience and expertise, and who isn't just going to tell you what you want to hear. That will do no one any good. Number seven on this list is to ask yourself a question. Do I have any peace over the decision. Now, this is a lot like violating conscience. It's a lot like looking at your heart's desire, but I think it's an important question to ask. When I've reached the point of making a decision, I've got to ask myself, am I at peace with my decision? God is not the author of confusion, we know, but He is the author of peace. Do I have peace with my decision? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, we see in Scripture. When I've looked at all of these ideas and I've matched them up and I've tried to make a decision, but then I still have no peace in my heart with the decision, then ultimately I've not made the best decision. Can I tell you that if you don't have peace with the decision that you've made, wait. Wait about making that decision. If you're not at peace with it, wait until you can make a different decision or come up with a different plan. Ultimately, if I'm going to find happiness in my decisions, I have to have peace with the decisions that I have made. Number 8 is this. Never make a decision based on your fear. Never let fear be the motivating factor for why you make a decision. But instead, can I tell you to make your decisions based on faith? Notice the difference there. Do what you believe in and what you love in the most noble part of your heart, and you're going to make a better decision. Faith is what makes the difference. 8 ideas here to be taken as a whole so that we can discern God's will and understand what His will is for our life, but then make the best possible decisions we can. And I'm talking about major life decisions. And so often we make decisions and we regret them because we live with the bad consequences simply because we haven't looked at God's will. We haven't thought about our conscience. We haven't thought about what we're praying for. We haven't looked for the wisdom to use the information to make these decisions. I hope you've written down those ideas. And I would encourage you, don't take shortcuts, because there are no shortcuts when it comes to making good decisions. It will become fairly clear once you go through that process of trying to make a decision based on God's will. If you have to, write down the decision that you're about to make. This is very powerful for me. I hope it works for you. Sometimes we make decisions and we really don't even understand what it is we're deciding. Write down very clearly the decision you are making and what the ramifications are going to be. And you may look at it and say, really didn't think that was the decision I was making. But now that I see it in writing, maybe it's not the best decision. If you have to go to the plan of writing down the pros and the cons and seeing which one outweighs the other, do that. Sometimes they're just situations that present themselves and we have to pick one way or the other. And if it doesn't violate the conscience, it's based on God's word, and we just have to pick what are the pros and what are the cons. Use whatever you have to do to make the best decisions. We make decisions every day. We need to think about the objective of our decision. We need to think about why I'm making the decision. We need to think about, does it fit in my purpose of being a child of God? And ultimately, that is the decision we have to make. In the end, if the answer hasn't become obvious, just wait. Delay making the decision. Because it's easier to delay making a decision than it is to live a life of regret trying to recover from a bad decision. Discern God's will. Understand it and make your decisions based on His will. You can go ahead and open up your song book to the song of encouragement. We all have decisions to make, and some of you have a decision to make this morning. It's a decision about whether or not to render obedience to God. And I hope, as we've talked about these 8 things to consider, that if you're making a decision this morning about obeying God, that you can weigh the evidences and make the best decision possible. I hope that you can make a decision that is in keeping with God's will, that's going to bring glory and honor to Him, and it's going to put you on a path that you may make decisions in your life that are going to continue to be within God's will. Can I tell you that not every decision you make will be part of God's will? But if you use His principles and His precepts to guide your decision making, your life certainly will be one that's lived in glory and honor for the Lord. So this morning, if there are those here who have never rendered obedience to the gospel, you've heard the word, you believe what the word says, you're firmly convinced and rooted in a belief that what the Bible says for your life is true and accurate, you're ready to repent. That's the third step, and it simply means to have a change in your soul. It means that you're going to turn away from living for self and living for sin and instead live for God and make godly decisions based on His will for your life. and you're ready to confess His name and say, yes, I believe Jesus is the Son of God, that He died for my sins and for the sins of humanity, and then be baptized. Now, kind of an interesting idea here as I was thinking about this lesson, you've probably noticed, any of you who are on Facebook and some of you who are not on Facebook, something called the Cold Water Challenge. And it just so happened that yesterday I accepted the challenge thanks to Matt Adams, who called me out on the Cold Water Challenge. But basically it's this. You take a cold water challenge by letting someone pour a bucket of ice water over your head in the name of charity. And then you donate some money to a good cause. And then in turn, you pass that challenge on to someone else. It's all in good fun. And it's all in the name of raising money and raising awareness. And it's a great thing. But I want to issue another challenge to you today. We don't have a cold water challenge here. We have a warm water challenge. We have a baptistry that's prepared and ready, and there's absolutely nothing standing in the way of your making the right decision today. It will be a decision that you will never regret making. It's one decision in life that I can guarantee you that you'll have no qualms or no doubts about. Other decisions you might live and have doubts and say, what would happen if I'd taken a different path? Can I tell you this morning that if you obey the gospel through baptism, you won't regret it. You're not going to, 20 years from now, say, you know, that morning at New Hope when we had that lesson about making decisions, I made the wrong decision by being baptized. I made the wrong decision by being obedient to God. I should have never done that. That will never be your thought. It will simply be, I'm so glad I made the right decision to obey the Lord at that point. I accepted a challenge. A challenge to live obediently. A challenge to listen to His Word and to obey His Word. A challenge to accept the warm water, the waters of baptism, and encounter the blood of Christ, and to live righteously for His sake. Or it may be that you look back on this day and say, you know, that day when I rededicated my life to serving God, that was a good decision for me. I weighed the evidences, I considered the options, I checked my conscience, I checked my heart, and I prayed about it, and I ultimately made the right decision. I'd urge you this morning to make the right decision, to accept the challenge that God has given to you through His holy and inspired Word. And it's a life of obedience. It's a life of selfless living, not selfish, but selfless. Not living for self, but living for God and bringing glory and honor to Him. Discerning His will and making decisions based upon His will. That's the challenge for you this morning. And I hope you accept it. And you're in a room of people who are going to support and encourage you to make that good decision. Make good decisions in your life. Discern God's will in your life. And if we can help you at this hour to make the decision to obey God, why don't you respond while we stand and sing this song?